Well, since last Thursday, four people have drowned, including a 7-year-old boy, and the search continues for a teen who got caught up in a rip at Waihi on Friday. There was also a story about a toddler who was found floating on top of the family swimming pool mere moments after leaving her mother's side. She'd recovered from the ordeal 3 weeks ago, but her story prompted a call from a paramedic who's helped save her life for everyone to learn first aid. 78 people died in preventable drownings in New Zealand last year, 12 more than the year prior. With me now to kick off is Water Safety NZ Chief Executive Jonty Mills, who's with me now to talk about this. Jonty, kia ora, welcome to the panel.
Kia ora, Wallace, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. To this first of this piece in the paper, and the one about the toddler floating in a pool that the family had not long before installed from the Herald, is an extraordinary story, isn't it? But the critical thing here was that everything was in place, so she did actually manage to survive.
Yeah, and look, it's a great outcome in this situation. You know, sadly, we lose about six under fives or toddlers each year in preventable situations, and we know that it takes less than a minute for a child to drown, and really that only foolproof solution for a toddler is that constant adult supervision. Now, we all know how easily we can be distracted and how quickly, once they're mobile, they can disappear. So in this situation, it's very fortunate we had a great outcome, and obviously the first aid response and the CPR response certainly helped that outcome.
Nonetheless, it was chilling, wasn't it? Because it was a harrowing story of, even though it was a good outcome, it was a harrowing reminder of just how easy things can go wrong. A toddler can lift up that latch; they're a lot cleverer than we think them to be. Next minute, that door's open. We hear a bit of a silence, and it's a real recipe for disaster.
Look, absolutely, and in the modern world we live in, we are really easily distracted, and we're seeing the advent of things like, you know, obviously devices and Facebook and things like that, and naturally toddlers are inquisitive, and naturally they're drawn to water, so there's that recipe, that combination of constant adult supervision or distraction, and then how quickly they can disappear, and as I said before, less than a minute for a child to drown.
Mm. I mean, most of these drownings happened at the beach. One was in the Whanganui River. Are things improving? Do you think we're being too complacent in open water? What more can we do?
Yeah, look, that's a really broad question, and it all reflects, and not just over the last 5 days, but over the summer and actually over the last few years, reflects the complex nature of drowning in this country. It's just not one-dimensional. The numbers are representing a really wide range of ages and ethnicities and activities and water environments, but about 63% of all drownings happen across beaches and then offshore out beyond the waves and rivers. So certainly, look, our waters are really inviting and very welcoming, and part of who we are as Kiwis, it's part of our culture to play in the water, but at the same time they can be really unpredictable, really changeable, and as a result incredibly unforgiving, unfortunately.
Yeah. Water Safety NZ Chief Executive Jonty Mills, thank you for your time, Jonty. It's a scenario, Stephen, that you wouldn't wish it upon anyone, would you? You know,
no, you certainly wouldn't. And a big shout out to Jonty Mills and Water Safety New Zealand for the great work they're doing in raising awareness and education, and they need more support for that job. I once got into serious difficulty. My daughter and I, one evening at Tolaga Bay on the east coast, a beautiful evening, warm water, but we chose to swim at the time. The tide changed. We got carried out and had a hard job coming back
in. Is that
right? It was very much touch and go. And we can swim. We thought we were being careful, but we weren't.
What happened? How did you get carried out?
Well, we got back in by luck. I managed to pick up Hannah and my daughter and push her in on a wave, and I managed to struggle my way in. But a friend of ours who was a bit behind us, she was being dragged in the other direction. Mercifully, she had a boogie board, and she got picked up by a surfy. But anyway, all of this. To say I'm very aware of this now, we thought we were prepared and we weren't. So I think the messages that Chanti's given us today are really the ones to be focused on. And it may take more government money, and the taxpayers' union probably won't like that either. But these are things that are worth supporting.
Jo?
Yeah, I actually am quite surprised at the limited amount of public support there is, not just for sort of aquatic literacy, you know, because schools are so much less likely to have pools and they're not available to children, or there's a cost involved that is prohibitive to some people, but also to some of the life-saving services we rely on to keep us safe in the water. The fact that, you know, that we're not treating that as an essential emergency service. It's more that it's a nice to have. But at the same time, I would say, based on my understanding, the way the drowning statistics are, it's not necessarily about just learning to swim, you know? And I think that perhaps makes it sound a bit simpler than it is, because it is far more about people just wildly underestimating the risk and overestimating their own ability. And so that is about more about reading the water, not being stupid. I wonder if alcohol plays a role at times. You know, there are things like that which are perhaps a wider social problem. Right.